Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend. It was a long weekend because today's date, the 1st of September, is also what we call Monday or a Labor Day, and it marks the traditional beginning of the school year for many schools, although some schools are starting way before today. It is sort of a symbolic end of summer because of school and certain commitments. And even though it's now on the East Coast, the 2nd of September, there are still folks celebrating the holiday, I'm sure, across the country, and winding up their festivities for their return to work. It's interesting that Labor Day is a holiday, and I noticed there's a lot of people working on Labor Day, so evidently the holiday only applies to those that are fortunate enough to be off. Well, lots of things to talk about. I don't have a guest tonight. It was sort of planned that way. I wanted to talk about many things that are going on and also offer the listening audience the opportunity to call in either with a question or a comment about things that are going on in general, share some news or discuss something that's bothering you maybe in terms of the political campaigns that are going on around the country, particularly the presidential campaign or maybe some local campaigns that affect your particular domicile, we'll say. If you want to call in, I'm going to ask that you use the BBS Station 2 numbers and grab a pen and paper, and I'll give those to you. Some of you have them memorized. Doesn't seem that many of my listening audience actually call in, so I'll give you the numbers. They are on the index page at bbsradio.com, and those numbers are in the USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. That's a toll-free call. Also, worldwide toll-free, 877-489-6350. And the direct line, I'll give one of those out, and that is area code 530-776-5154. And that's so you can call in and talk to me, say hello, let me know what's on your mind, ask a question, as I've already said. Well, I thought it would be interesting to talk about a few things that are going on. And some of this news came out around August 21st. So basically, you know, we're looking at about 10 days ago or so. An attorney in Philadelphia, Phil Berg, put a lawsuit on Barack Obama. And this is in regard to his ineligibility to run for the presidency of the United States. Now, my listening audience is quite aware, if you've been listening at all to any of the past shows recently, that I've been working on a trilogy, a three-part series that's published in the Idaho Observer called The Three Stooges Go to Washington. And this trilogy is basically a genealogical study, genealogical research on who presidential candidates are, and it was named The Three Stooges after the Three Stooges. So we have John McCain, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. And I'm not counting Hillary out of the picture, just on the basis of some of what's transpiring. In fact, the fact that I did choose those three to write about and do some genealogical research, sort of panning out in terms of this lawsuit that Phil Berg filed. I think it's important for us as Americans to be aware of who these people are. And that's the reason I did the research. I didn't really feel that there was a whole lot of substance to much of the claims of any of the candidates. In the case of McCain, and this is published in the Observer already, and it's on my website, directlightproductions.com, under articles, you can read what I was able to deduce of the hidden history of the McCain clan and how they came in to the United States. They were inserted into the U.S. Navy under the name of McCann. Not McCain, McCann. And the McCann name was a fictitious name created by the then Prince of Wales, Duke of Cornwall, and Rothesay, which is basically the heir to the British throne, and we could call it kingdom in a sense, his domain, which was Scotland and Ireland. And during the time that Prince Edward Albert, who became Edward VII, the king, was, let's say, supervising Scotland and Britain, he had a few illegitimate children. It was quite well known that he was a philanderer, that he had numerous extramarital affairs. He had married Alexandria, Princess Alexandria of Denmark, and was known to cavort with actresses and famous singers and entertainers and even people of, let's say, wealthy means. One of those people, in fact, it was the most likely candidate for giving him an out-of-wedlock child, would have been Jenny Jerome, who became Lady Randolph Churchill. And eventually, she gave birth to Winston Churchill. So it's quite plausible that the King of England planned to have one of his own put into the U.S. Navy. In fact, he did this twice, as far as I could deduce. He did that with John Sidney McCain Sr. and John Sidney McCain Jr., the father and grandfather of the current senator who is the candidate for the Republican Party. And the genealogy created in the United States was totally fictitious, bogus, made up. And yet it's published in all the history books. It's published on the internet, on Wikipedia. And yet when one really does a very detailed study of these facts, none of them pan out. In fact, we have ex-Vietnam vets that are even disputing McCain's claims or the government's claims to McCain's heroism in the Vietnam War. Leaving out facts, twisting facts, the most glaring lie is the one describing the wet start, which was a flame out type of start on the aircraft carrier, the USS Forrestal, which killed 167 sailors and injured another 134. And unlike the story in Wikipedia where McCain is made out to be a hero, and the story about the ship is that an electrical fire caused 134 deaths, McCain was the cause of the fire, and the bombs that went off, and the plane that sat behind his plane waiting for takeoff. He was transferred off of that ship to prevent the rest of the crew from probably killing him, because his actions were inexcusable, and just for his own safety and on the basis of his father having been an admiral at that time. And keep in mind, again, this is an admiral who had been secreted into the Navy under a false name, a made-up name, a made-up genealogy, a made-up lineage, made-up ancestry here in the United States. His parents and his grandparents were not from America. They were not U.S. citizens. And on that basis alone, it disqualifies McCain from running for the presidency. The media keeps telling us this lie. They keep spinning us this lie that, well, he was born to American citizens, U.S. citizens, in U.S.-controlled territory. The United States Navy was leasing the base at Coco Solo in the Panama Canal Zone. McCain was not born there in 1936, and his claim to have been born in a military hospital is also a lie, because that hospital, even as of the 17th of December, 1941, had not even been marked as a boundary for an existing hospital, a hospital that was ordered in Executive Order 8981 to be measured by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So here we have, long past 5 years after his so-called birth, the hospital still had not been built, and was the land was actually mentioned that it should be acquired by whatever means possible, whether it meant a lease or actual purchase of the land. So the United States was leasing the land that they had set up the Coco Solo base on, and they did not even own it. His parents were not American, so he couldn't have been born to American parents, and he was not born in a hospital that didn't exist. There's not much of an argument beyond these 3 points that I'm making. And everything else we're finding out is nothing but spin and more lies. McCain broadcast 38, at least 38 broadcasts for Radio Hanoi, and should have been tried for treason if he were an American. Of course, you can't find a non-American guilty of treason, but he should have been arrested and tried as a spy, as should his father and his grandfather. This is the nature of the infiltration that has taken over our government, and that they're pushing these people. Now, that said about McCain, Philip Berg filed a lawsuit about Barack Obama. Seems that some wealthy Republicans went to Kenya and discovered a birth certificate in Kenya that Stanley Ann Dunham had the baby there. Now, I'll tell you that on the basis of my research, that's as ridiculous as his claim to have been born in Hawaii. And that will be coming in the next part of the Three Stooges Go to Washington, which now I'm told by my publishers and editors at the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle, that will go to press on the 8th of September. They do have the article and all the supporting materials, and it is a mind blower. I'll say that. It's very different from what you're hearing from the mainstream media, because the mainstream is not interested in publishing the truth. They're not interested in telling you the truth. They are the propaganda wing for the controllers, the shadow government that controls our government. And people need to get that in their mind, that this electoral process that we're fed as a means for electing our president is nothing but smoke and mirrors. That's all it is. There's nothing honest about how our elections occur. We have election fraud with the machines. We have election fraud that goes back, if you go into the days of Chicago, Mayor Daley was known to have rigged many elections. So this is not a new phenomenon that's occurring here in the United States, and they've been doing this for a number of years, and we know without a doubt that that the caucuses that originally elected the candidates that are now running were rigged as well. And it was all over the country. It wasn't one particular place that this was occurring, and there were complaints filed in various states. New Hampshire had a recount, and of course, the recount didn't uncover anything. It was all whitewashed, as everything else is, and all kept out of the media. And several people, Dennis Kucinich, was one who paid money to have a recount. And there was another candidate, Albert Howard, running for president, who had paid something like $55,000 or $56,000, which was donated money to get this recount. People like Ron Paul, who were running for the presidency, were totally left out of any media coverage other than the obligatory coverage that they gave him at the debates. And he had issues about being invited to the debates as well. The media chose not to invite him to certain debates, and then this even spread on to the state conventions, where they were choosing through their delegates, choosing who was qualified to be on the ticket. And we had states such as Nevada and Wisconsin, or Washington and Idaho, that were very pro Ron Paul, and the Republican committee basically whitewashed the whole process of selecting delegates at their state conventions. So we have corruption from top to bottom at every stage of the election, and the media is definitely assisting the cover up of this corruption. Now, the fact that Phil Berg filed a lawsuit to prevent Obama from embarrassing the Democratic Party, because when all of these issues come out, now that he's been nominated, they'll start leaking these things. Maybe the attempt is to bring Hillary Clinton to the fore. Now, why would they be doing that? Well, it should be a key issue if someone is not a U.S. citizen, and on virtually every point that would qualify him, he does not qualify. He can't produce a valid certificate of live birth from the state of Hawaii, number one. Now, Philip Berg says that there is a document that's been found in Kenya, a birth certificate, and is claiming that Barack Obama Sr. and Stanley Ann Dunham are the parents. Stanley Ann Dunham was not of age as a single parent to even have Barack Obama naturalized, let alone claim that he was born in Hawaii. Now, on top of that, there's another birth certificate that came from Indonesia. That birth certificate disqualifies him having dual citizenship with the United States and with Kenya. And likewise, the birth certificate in Kenya disqualifies him from having dual citizenship with the United States and with Indonesia, because none of those three countries have dual citizenship agreements. Our lawmakers know this. Our Congress knows this. Our Justice Department knows this. Our Federal Elections Commission knows this. And they're all violating their own laws and their own election regulations. What is happening to this country, or what has happened to this country, should be the question we should all be asking. And why is this tolerated? Well, is it tolerated because the media can be counted on to spin the topic any way they determine they have to? Now, I can tell you from having done the genealogical work on these people and comparing simple statements that from a certain date to another date, they were living in a certain country, Obama was attending a certain school, and to find out that there's conflicting evidence in the dates, in the places, in the name of the school? On how, who paid for the education? It's an endless string of lies. And it's quite difficult to discern until one digs up all the facts and finds evidence to refute it. And I can tell you that that article that is coming out on the 8th of September will do that. I am not the only researcher that has looked into these things. Webster Tarpley has written a book and talked about the political connections, the international connections that Obama has. And his piece came out somewhat before mine. It's actually a book. It's called Obama, the Postmodern Coup. Basically, he describes Obama, summarizes him as a Manchurian candidate working for the powers that be. Obama's got ties to organized crime in Chicago. Tony Rezko was indicted and found guilty on 16 counts of money laundering and RICO violations. And the media has conveniently swept this aside and not paid any attention to this. And yet there are business deals. There have been cash transactions that took place between Rezko and Obama in Obama's own selling of his property. He bought a $2 million house and sold the lot next to the house for $1.6 million to Rezko. Now, normally that shouldn't raise any eyebrows in the normal business world, yet I can tell you that there are other examples of the same types of activities that took place. We have the story of Larry Sinclair, who alleges that Obama smoked crack cocaine with him. They had drinks together. They had sex in the back of a limousine that was rented by Larry Sinclair. On another occasion, Obama appeared at Sinclair's hotel room with drugs and with his limousine driver. And again, Sinclair describes the same sort of details of a sexual liaison, not only with Obama, but even with the limousine driver. We have some anomalies that have occurred at Obama's former church, and I discuss some of this in the article, yet some of the names have come out. And these are three mysterious deaths that occurred at the former church, and it's quite possible that these activities that have surfaced are such an embarrassment to Obama's campaign that he had to withdraw from the church to distance himself from the fact that three openly gay people that worked or attended the church were murdered. Now, their murders were ruled suicides, as is the case in such murders. I don't know many people that commit suicide by shooting themselves in the back of the head, execution style. Yet Donald Young, Nate Spencer, and Larry Bland all have allegedly had some link to Obama. All three were admittedly gay. Donald Young was the music minister of the church and had made some contact with Larry Sinclair before his death. Nate Spencer and Larry Bland were two parishioners there at the church who were, again, described as openly gay and thought to have had also some relationship with Obama. Now, Phil Berg goes on to describe the relationship between two people, Bill Guatney and Stephanie Tubbs Jones, who died very recently. Bill Guatney was the head of the Democratic Party in Little Rock, Arkansas, and a so-called volunteer came in to speak to Guatney about volunteering to work for the Democratic Party. He was refused admittance into Guatney's office, this individual that was volunteering, and burst through the door and fired several shots, sending Guatney to the hospital where he later died. Now, I found it interesting that someone interviewed the Clintons after that death, and they had condolences and the usual, well, you know, we loved Bill and he was a great man and that type of stuff. I'm paraphrasing their comments. Then when Stephanie Tubbs Jones, who was a former Clinton supporter but had shifted her support to Obama's campaign, had an aneurysm while driving a car. Now, that very well could be a natural occurrence. Yet, again, they interviewed the Clintons. And I found that quite strange. In fact, I anticipated when I was reading the article that the Clintons were going to be interviewed. And again, they made these general comments of love and their sadness over her death. And yet, what comes to mind is papers like the Clinton Body Count, where there were hundreds of people that have died who have been close to the Clintons and knew about their financial dealings with the Rose Law Firm, with the Madison Loan and Guarantee, with Whitewater, with Vince Foster, and numerous other instances. And the fact that the Clintons are smack dab in the middle of the money laundering and the theft of trillions of dollars, along with Bush 41 and Bush 43, just underscores how corrupt these people are. And again, this is kept out of the mainstream media, but it's not kept out of the alternative media. There have been several writers following this, primarily Christopher Story from worldreports.org, International Currency Review, and a number of other publications, including some major literary works, books that he has written, documenting much of the corruption from the bank documents, from statements and affidavits, court documents, definitely showing that these people are doing what Christopher Story is claiming. And he's not the only one. We're witnessing the collapse of banks and brokerage firms that are also involved in the same money laundering. Yet it's being blamed on people that got mortgage loans in California or some broker in France that may have hoodwinked some people, but he's no different from what these people are doing. In fact, what they're doing is far, far worse. And yet they're willing to blame it on people that really are not responsible for this. The people that get these loans for homes, the people that are giving out the mortgages, know full well whether these people are able to pay right up front, but they don't really care about that because they're taking profits, they're skimming the profits, they're sending them overseas or just outright stealing them. Now, what does this have to do with Obama? Well, when you read the article, you're going to see that there are connections. All of these people are connected to the same types of activities. His connection is a little bit unique. Now, I mentioned Larry Sinclair. Larry Sinclair recently gave a National Press Club interview and was answering questions from members of the press in specificity to his relationship with Barack Obama. And I'm speaking about the sex and the drugs that he described. Now, this occurred in 1999, and he's just asking Obama to admit it because Obama has published that this was something that he did early on in school. And this brings it more up to date. In fact, one would surmise that if he's lying about having done drugs and engaged in homosexual relations, then he's probably still doing it. He's just not gotten caught. And then there are connections. again, overseas to individuals involved in the same types of activities. Now, when Larry Sinclair was arrested, there was a bogus, and I called it when it came out, there was a bogus lawsuit, but warrant filed against him in two states. In Colorado, there was a sheriff that claimed that there was a warrant for his arrest, and in Delaware, there was a warrant for his arrest. And he was arrested at the conclusion of this press conference before the National Press Club by Washington police. So, how does one sort all this out? Well, Sinclair had done time. Admittedly, he had done time for fraud, and he paid the price. He did his time in jail, and he was out. And for all intents and purposes, what anyone could deduce is the man was telling the truth about his relationship with Barack Obama. The arresting party, let's say, that filed the papers in Delaware against Larry Sinclair was none other than Beau Biden. And Beau Biden happens to be the son of Joe Biden. Now, Sinclair beat this charge, this illegal charge, because it was untrue. He got himself an attorney. He got out of it. It was obvious. Of course, nothing was reported in the media about this at all. It's not come out in mainstream media. And then turn around, and who gets nominated or who gets picked to run as vice president? None other than Joe Biden. Tell me that that's not a coincidence. So there are other connections that Obama has internationally, and although someone may want to imply that somehow Obama was behind the death of these two former, as I understand, former Clinton delegates. Now, maybe one, Guatney still might have been pro-Clinton. But as far as I know, Stephanie Tubbs Jones had switched her support to Obama when Clinton dropped out of the race. But while we saw this speech from Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention, what was going on behind the scenes had been mentioned by me, as well as some other journalists, that we should be watching what's going on, because we were not being told about all the ships that were surrounding Iran. We had not been told the truth about this skirmish between Georgia and Russia. We're saying the Republic of Georgia and Russia, which began on opening day of the Olympic Games on August 8th, 2008. We had warned something was going to happen on that date, and something did happen on that date, and it was a smokescreen to hide the fact that Putin was claiming he was owed now $87 billion from the WANTA payments, and originally it was $30 billion, and they kept lying and misrepresenting the fact that these monies were in the process or had been paid out, and Putin didn't have the money. And he upped the ante to $87 billion. He charged interest. We're talking about $57 billion of interest added to the original $30 billion payment. Is it any wonder that Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is basically the handler for Barack Obama, although they like to call him his political advisor, is also involved in this Republic of Georgia issue. It just doesn't end. All of these things are interconnected, interwoven together, and it doesn't matter which one you vote for, because they're all going to, in one way or another, carry on with the money laundering and all the illicit activities. The drug trade is a big issue with all of these people. And here we know Bill Clinton has used drugs. And as far as we know from the writings of Bryce Taylor, the pen name for Susan Ford, who talked about the mind control program, she describes how the Clintons used drugs and engaged in extramarital affairs. In fact, she herself claimed to have had sex with them under the direction of Henry Kissinger and Bob Hope. And she wrote a really mind-blowing book called Thanks for the Memories. And she describes her role from childhood being mind-controlled and brainwashed into the sex slave industry, but they used her also as an intelligence agent. And they used her to deliver messages from Kissinger to presidents and very prominent people, names you would recognize. So this is just more and more of the same garbage that goes on behind the scenes. And those of us that talk about us are attacked and called wackos and conspiracy theorists. Yet there's plenty of written works by people that participated in these programs, naming names, naming dates, describing how it's done, who's involved, and it's always the same people. It's always the same people. And many of these people aren't even aware, or at least while they're in these programs, they're not even aware that they're playing a part in that. So we could just look at the bare facts of where these people were born and the stories that are created, because this is not about anybody being able to become president in the United States or president of the United States. This is about mind controlling us, dumbing us down, and brainwashing into believing that that is true, when the reality is that they will parade infiltrators into our country, into our government, into our military, into our intelligence networks as genuine Americans. And we're just supposed to accept that because they claim it. If you doubt what I say, do some research. And I would also look at the weatherman. That's part of the mainstream media. The weatherman is usually right less than 30% of the time. They might be able to tell you what a temperature is going to be, but they can't really predict storms. They even tell you, well, there's a 30% chance of thunderstorms, which means that 30% of the viewing area might be in the path of a storm. But they cannot predict with any accuracy, unless they get some specific information about weather control. And we have that going on. It's an interesting that on the third anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, we have another hurricane passing through New Orleans. Another levee break, although it may not be as bad as the last one. Again, we have the same problem. And we have more hurricanes coming ashore in the next days. These are diversions to keep us busy, to keep our minds focused on other matters while major, major theft goes on. Now, it was reported as recently as the 29th of August that there were major payoffs that went to Bush 41, the Clintons, and we're speaking about Bill and Hillary Clinton, as well as Bush 43. And there was a specific bank transfer of $18 billion. That just coincidentally matches the amount of money that was in Leo Wanta's briefcase when he was first arrested. Now, how much of that story is actually true and how much of it is just an intel spin to cause us to believe that Leo Wanta was really working on behalf of the American people is another issue. But I can tell you that there is a direct correlation with our country's non-compliance with Basel II agreement that all the banking and basically the expiration dates have taken place. Tuesday morning, the 2nd of November, all of our banks are to be compliant with Basel II. We have been told that we must convert our financial system, our economy must be based on a gold system, and that all transactions are to be above board, and in other words, they're to show source of funds. Well, they can't do that when the funds were hypothecated or when they were stolen without getting caught. And so you have nothing but rampant thievery going on. And Christopher Story reports that there's been very recently, within the last couple of days, more of this money laundering, more of this theft going on, and deposits being made along with bribes into foreign accounts. And then one wonders why the banks fail. And we had IndyMac fail, one of the largest, if not the largest, loaner of mortgage funding, and they're really involved in this money laundering that's really of an international scale. It's not a local problem. It's not one little institution. If you were to look at the paper that IndyMac carries, and I've not seen it, but I could guarantee you that it likely deals with international mortgages or the movement of monies into international accounts. Now, one can say, well, they have a right to move their profits. That may be so, but it's they're, first of all, this money's being lent out of thin air, just like the Federal Reserve. These companies only need a small percentage. It used to be that the banks were required to hold 10% of the capital for the money to be loaned. And it's been reduced to 2% in more recent times. I'm told by Seth that we have a caller on line 3. So would you please state your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, Billy Woodard, calling from Pahrump, Nevada.
Billy Woodard, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm not too bad. I was listening.
What's on your mind, Billy?
I was listening to your conversation about the weather and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I just need to let you know something about weather. What seems to be causing most of our problems with the weather is the poisons that your governments are putting into the atmosphere.
You're talking about chemtrail spraying?
Yeah, that, and also the past nuclear blasts and things of that nature that have been tested and put up into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
The thing also about that is that once the atmosphere has been cleaned, which is taking place even as we speak, you have seen bursts of green light in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, those bursts of green light are cleaning up our atmosphere. And it's being done by the people that reside within our planet. But also, once the skies and the air have been cleaned up, then 95%, if not 100%, of the diseases and sicknesses and all this that everyone is suffering from will reverse itself. And all sickness and disease will vanish from the face of this planet.
Now, that sounds like a prophetic statement you're making there, Billy. And
it is.
Well, okay, now for the listening audience out there who's wondering where this information is coming from, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with what you say. We just want to allow the listening audience to understand how you came about getting this information. You're saying the people that are living In the earth?
Within the earth. In the hollow interior of this planet.
Okay. And what are those people called?
They are called the Ariani.
Okay. And have you met these people, or do you know them personally?
Admiral Richard Evelyn Byrd met them in 1947.
Admiral Byrd met them. Now, where did he meet them? Was that when he went to the South Pole, or?
He made his flight to the North Pole in 1947, and he made contact with the Ariane at that time. He was given a message to give back to the entire world, which he had been forbidden to give out by order of the president at that time, which is President Truman, and he was silenced by our government and told not to speak of his activities that took place upon his journey to the Arctic Circle, above the Arctic Circle. And he was stopped from doing it. So the message that was to be brought out was because that the people of the Hollow Earth wanted the people up here to stop using nuclear power, because the Earth supplies all our power for us for free. We just haven't tapped into that source yet. But it's here. It's here for us, and all we have to do is claim it and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Nikola Tesla was actually trying to implement that type of technology using the Earth's electrical field as a means.
Using the grid lines on the Earth.
Yes. And, of course, they couldn't meter that, so that was basically the downfall of his Wardenclyffe project. And
Morgan, which was the one that backed Edison, he had his towers destroyed in, Colorado Springs, Colorado. And so all this was because they couldn't make money off of his inventions. And it was free energy that's given to us freely. See, atomic energy is not the key to our energy problems, or to the remedies for our problems. Atomic energy is a very, very unstable source of power. And it can be devastating if misused. And that's what annihilated the continents of Lemuria and Atlantis and sent them to the bottom of the ocean, was a thermonuclear blast. That's what sent them both to the bottom of the ocean and caused the United States to rise. The people in Lemuria and Atlantis learned the futility of war, and they relocated into the crust of the earth and also into mountains and things of this nature to escape the radiation that was that blanketed the entire planet back at that over 12,000 years ago. And the thing about it is, we're doing the same thing again. And the thing about it is, we don't have to do that. Because everything that we need is here already. And it's given to us freely by Mother Earth. And another thing that is really interesting, that and might be a very good good information for your listeners out there, is that a lot of reasons that people are sick is because they are eating the wrong foods. Now let me explain what I'm saying. By eating the wrong foods, I mean by eating out of their locality.
Yes, I understand that.
We're eating foods that are being shipped across the country, right?
Yes.
But if we eat the foods that are in our own state or in our own town, our health problems, major health problems, would vanish because we're out of sync with Mother Earth. And until we get back in sync with Mother Earth, we're going to have health problems.
Yeah.
But until when we get back in sync with Mother Earth, meaning gardening and crops and things of this nature, and following the guidelines that Mother Earth gives us, Mother Nature gives us, for planting, once we get back in sync, over half or even 75% of our health problems will vanish.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Billy. I would even go on to say it goes beyond just across the country. They're shipping food from all over the world in here, and with no regulations, no inspection. And many of these foods, aside from being non-local, are even dangerous because they're contaminated.
Not just that. Even if we weren't shipping from all over the world, we're just shipping across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Like food that is being shipped over to California or from the East Coast to the West Coast, people eating what they're doing is they're eating the vibration and the attitude and the climate of where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's making us sick. So if we stop doing that and we start eating what we grow, like if we start planting gardens in our yard, in our backyards, and start eating what we grow instead of what we buy in a grocery store, we'll be a lot better off. And not only that, it will cause replenishing of every cell in the human body. This replenishes itself every so many months. And this will enable that to happen faster. And if you want a cure for Alzheimer's, eat the right foods. You have your cure.
Mm-hmm. Billy, there's a couple of things that you mentioned that I'd just like to make a quick comment on and come back to this food issue. Because we jump from nuclear, from Admiral Byrd. Now, I know, and I'm sure most of the listening audience knows that he went up to the Arctic Circle. But there was a later expedition, and it was to the South Pole. And when he got there, he was basically turned around almost immediately. Do you have any information as to what the reason was for that? What did he learn? What did he see? What was it that he was not supposed to divulge in that?
Well, repeat the question again.
Okay, he went to Admiral Byrd had an expedition to Antarctica, and within a day or two of his arrival there, he was turned back. He was told to come back, and he was not to speak about what he had learned. Are you at all familiar with what that might have been?
All right. The first attempt that they hit him with was they gave him information about stopping nuclear war or stopping the nuclear bombs and things of this nature to tell his government not to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And when he went down there in 1956, which was a later expedition, was the South Pole, he entered in and they turned him around because he had failed the first time around. It wasn't his fault, but he was silenced by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And not to give out any information, which he didn't do, because he was under orders and he obeyed orders. But the people of the Hollow Earth turned him around and told him to go back out because he was not able to give this information to his government or
mm-hmm.
to the people of the earth. And so consequently, it was no sense in him going in again. He'd been given he said, we gave you the right information to give to your governments. you gave it to your government, but your government failed to give it to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was the purpose of him giving this information to his president, and also the president was to release it to the entire world, which didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he went there in 1956 to the same area. They turned his flight around.
I see.
Because he had already been given the message already. So there was nothing more to say.
Okay. Coming back to this issue of food, I agree with you on that wholeheartedly. In fact, I think it's just a simple matter of vibration, that the area where one lives vibrates at a certain frequency, and the foods grown there are compatible with that. Now, many of the local growing that used to take place in certain areas, you know, if you want to talk about Iowa, for example, where they grow corn, corn has been turned into a political tool. It's been talked about and hybridized for the production of ethanol. And yet, recently, probably through engineered storms, and flooding, controlled flooding, they've wiped out the crops. But then we have a parallel going on in Brazil, where the Bush family has invested in sugarcane plantations. So they can make ethanol from sugarcane and reduce the competition from the corn. If the corn's not being produced, you can't produce the ethanol, nor can you produce the food. And it's an issue of whether or not this is even edible corn. In other words, it's not going to be the same vibration if it's a Monsanto seed that these crops are grown from. Monsanto insists that the farmers buy from them only, and again, we have the favoritism played by the lobbyists and our political representatives. I would even go so far as to say that our representatives aren't from our locale, and they're all transplanted. And if you look at any of our politicians, very few of them were born and raised in the state that they represent, whether they're a senator or a congressman or a governor. You have many, many people across the country in the political arena that are all transplants. Now you can say, well, people move, but they move these people to the area where they want to control the power base. And so we have that same problem in our political rally or structure that we do in our food and in our adherence to natural law.
That's right. I want to bring one other point out that is very important for your listeners to hear too, concerning your son, or our son out here. The sun is called, the sun is hollow, just like the earth is. And the sun is, its name is Helios. And it has a hollow core, as all suns do. The light emanating from your sun is cold, not hot, as you've been taught to believe. It only reaches higher temperatures when it comes in contact with the earth's atmosphere. That's when it heats up. Your sun isn't hot. It's light. It's basically light. It's not nuclear fission. It is light. And the thing about the sun, see, a lot of people are under the impression that the sun is what's giving them skin cancer and causing them to age. They couldn't be further from the truth.
Yes,
the fact
I agree.
The fact is that the sun is a giver of life. It is not a giver of death.
Mm-hmm.
It is light. That's all it is.
Well, we know also that when there is a nuclear explosion, that there is a tear in the fabric of space and time. And every time that we have set off a nuclear bomb anywhere, whether it's in the ground, on the surface, or up in our upper atmosphere, you have that phenomenon that occurs. Now, if the sun were nuclear, it would constantly be tearing at the fabric of space and time.
Correct.
It's as simple as that.
The thing about what I wanted to bring out to your listeners is this. Don't be afraid of the sun. The sun is not what is aging you. And it's not the sun's light that's doing it. It's the poisons that our governments are constantly putting into the atmosphere. That's what is giving us skin cancer. That's what's giving us old age. This is what's giving us old age, not the sun.
Yes, well, you're describing a process that's basically, I guess you could generally call it toxicity, is that we have become so toxic that without expelling these toxins, without removing them from within our physical bodies, we are going to be at the mercy of what these toxins cause. And they reduce our ability to assimilate food, even if we're eating locally, you know.
Yes, of course, I understand. the thing about also, another thing, see, when people think of age, they think in years, right, instead of how long it takes us to go around the sun, okay. The thing about it is, if we stop and think about it, instead of saying, I'm 30 years old, okay? No. You think in terms of the rotation around the sun, and you will stop aging.
Well, rephrase that then, instead of saying, I'm 30 years old? How would you correlate that with the rotation of the sun?
Okay, hold on a moment here. Let me.
I'm asking sort of rhetorically, in other words.
Yes, rhetorically, rhetorical questions. I know.
We got to remember this is radio now.
I know this is radio. I will answer your question when I come back on your show on the 3rd. I will have the answers for you.
Okay.
Because I know I'm mostly talking about what you were talking about this evening. But you asked me to come on your show on the 3rd. And I will do that. And I will have all the answers that you need at that time.
Okay. For the sake of the listening audience, Billy Woodard is going to be a guest on Evident Footprints. This call is a total surprise, but obviously he's got an important message, and there's something I said about the weather got him started on this. So, you know, and as I said at the top of the show, anyone's free to call, bring up any subject. So we don't have to tie it in with what I was talking about. But I find this all very interesting, and I'm sure some of the listening audience. Now, you speak with a certain kind of authority, Billy. And when you're on the show, of course, we're gonna give your background. But I noticed that you referred to the sun as our sun. You used the term your sun as if it wasn't your sun. do you care to make a distinction there?
yes, I would care to make a distinction, but it would probably cause most of your listeners to go off the deep end.
Okay. We can save it for the 3rd. How's that?
That might be better, yes. I mean, what I could let you know is that there's also a couple other points that I'm going to bring up on the 3rd that are going to blow the socks off of everyone listening. And what I mean by blow the socks off of them, it's going to bring reality to their ears that they've never heard before, and it's going to stir their imagination, because imagination, we've been told, doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like from imagination of children. Imagine that you're, if you only, oh, you're thinking from your imagination. Imagination is real. And until we recognize that, we are not going to, reclaim our God or goddess, whatever we are. We're not going to be able to claim that until we recognize that our imagination is what creates your reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would presume that one could set their intention upon their imagination, having it become their reality, and become more expansive and get outside the box. In other words, liberate themselves from this matrix, from this paradigm that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you
see,
agree
right
with
now,
that?
The earth is the earth is in a density, and a veil. There's a veil. There's a density and a veil upon the earth. And for very shortly, in the very near future, that veil is going to be lifted. And when it happens, that's when the entire world is going to go into the fifth dimensional realm.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that, because my listeners who have listened to this show have heard me say this on a number of occasions. I have personally witnessed that experience to some extent. Now, it's you could say it's coming in pulses, and it's based upon, I think, one's ability to perceive it more than it's actually pulsating. In other words, my seeing it and then not seeing it and then coming back to it is more to do with my consciousness than what is actually occurring. You know, the photon band.
What is actually occurring is this world is about to evolve to a point where every problem we ever had, every question we've ever asked is going to be answered. And by what I mean by that is everyone walking the face of this planet has the heritage of godhood.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has it. We
don't
realize it.
In essence, we're going to find out for once and for all where Barack Obama is really from, is what you're saying.
Don't worry about where he's from. Everybody's concerned about whether he gets into office or whoever gets into office. The point being is, see, right now your governments are in the process of wanting to, what is termed as, what, control the population?
Mm-hmm.
All that control is coming to an end.
Yes.
It's coming to an end more rapidly than you could ever possibly imagine within the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you.
My talk that I'm going to be talking on the 3rd, people might want to get their recorders and record every single word because it's absolute truth.
Well, they don't need to do that because we do publish the archives on BBS
yes.
Radio and on my
yes.
website, so they will be available. I mean, it's up to them if they want to do that, but we do that for them.
Yeah. Well, see, right now the Hollow Earth people are giving out messages to several people upon the surface of this planet. And a lot of these people are receiving messages from the people of the Hollow Earth. And the main message that they're trying to get out to the surface of this world is that love is the key to everything. Love is the key to your knowledge, to your enlightenment, to whatever you want, whatever you desire in life. The answer is in that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that, but the the people of the Hollow Earth are going to be coming out to merge with the surface population. They've already sent out a few people already. Well, when I say that, I have to bring up me and my sister, because we were both brought out here, and we both were meant to be raised by a surface family, which we were.
Mm-hmm.
But now this message that I'm giving forth to you on the 3rd is instructed by my, how do I put this, my mission on Earth is to give out this information, and it's finally become apparent to myself what I need to say. And it's going to be given out, and it's going to be given to me in a telepathic communication. And I will be giving it forth on the 3rd, and the other day that you wanted me to come on as well. This may be a 2-day event or a 2-day thing. There is another event that's going to be taking place in October. 2 events, actually. One will be in the Southern Hemisphere. I know you probably have listeners in South America.
Oh,
yes. South American listeners are going to be viewing an enormous aeroship in their skies on the 14th of October. And it will be there for 3 days. There will also be an event taking place 4 days later in Southern California. And this event is of a seismic nature. Magnitude of a 10.1 or 2. So, you will want to listen on the 3rd and the other consecutive day as well. But anyway, I'm taking over your show. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. The call is much appreciated, and you're confirming many things that I've talked about on this show. And you and I have talked off the air at some length. And I can first of all, I want to thank you for calling in, Billy. And
you're welcome.
And let you know that I'm looking forward to your guest appearance on Evident Footprints, and I know the listening audience will find what you have to say to be very compelling. I can tell the listening audience, while you're still here with us on this call, that that you've told me many things, some of which I'm familiar with, and I grilled you quite a bit about the source of your information. And it connects the dots with things that I know myself. I have not met the people consciously of the Hollow Earth, and yet I've followed a similar path, a parallel path. And the truth is the truth, and it comes in all kinds of shapes and all kinds of colors.
Yes, it does.
And you and I see eye to eye in many things. And we'll, over time, I'm sure you'll be on more than twice.
Yes, I have a hunch I will be, because I have a message to bring forth, and it is very important for the entire population of this planet to hear it.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your call. We're out of time on tonight's show. I sort of picked the topic that I felt. Actually, I picked several topics, but, it's part of this is about awakening to what's going on right now. And there's not a lot that we can do to change those things by, applying ourselves directly to them. But as you said, taking our intuition, our intention, and our imagination, is the word you used, and recognizing its validity, that it's not an hallucination, but
no,
that it's very real.
It's quite real.
Yes. We can create a new reality. So we have been moving in that direction for some time on this show. We present problems, but we also present the solutions.
Yes, and the solutions I'm going to be giving on the 3rd are for every ear to hear. It's going to shock them into reality.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for the shock. So I thank you for your call.
Shock you, but it will shock your listeners. I guarantee it.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before we close out the show tonight?
Well, it would probably take another couple hours to do that. but I will tell you this, that know that the population of the surface has intensified. The pollution on the surface has intensified. So has the pollution in your body. Whatever you do to the planet, you do to yourself. If you, as a species, stop polluting your earth, water, and air, you will stop polluting your bodies. They are intricately connected. As you can see, that this all is reversible, as you can also see. And it will reverse all the conditions that are against life. When the Hollow Earth people come to the surface in the not-too-distant future, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say right now, but I'm ready to give more information on the third, and it will wake up a lot of people, believe me.
Well, I trust that. I did spend some time discussing many of these things with you, and I'm inclined to agree. So I know my listening audience will enjoy that. Billy Woodard, I thank you for calling in. And I've got to say goodnight to the audience now. So I'll see you on the 3rd, which is just actually 2 days from now. So
Wednesday.
We'll talk soon.
All right,
you have a good evening. And
I will.
I'm going to say goodnight to our listening audience now. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And we had a special call in here from Billy Woodard. He'll be my Wednesday night guest on Evident Footprints, and you're sure to want to tune into that show and tell your friends to tune in. Even tell your enemies, because they will become your friends. And special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and for Seth Hendrick working on Labor Day for doing the sound. In the meantime, peace, love, and light, and I'll see everyone tomorrow night, same place. Good night.